Hey, Metalheads, Leather Leone here, and you're listening to Sonic Perspectives, Love and Dio.
Hi, guys, this is Rodrigo from Sonic Perspectives, and on the phone with me is a legendary singer. Her name is Leather Leone. Leather, how are you today?
I'm doing so great, Rodrigo. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me.
Always a pleasure. And after a string of albums with Chastain in the 80s, you took an extended break from the music business. Why such a long break, and what prompted that your return?
I didn't really plan on going away that long. Chastain and I knew were kind of amicably done, at least for a while. So I planned on coming home and giving myself a six-month break and then getting into another band. But I didn't have a lot of good luck getting into working with other musicians or working with any labels. I didn't really have anything that was of interest to me, and I'm not one to compromise. So it was more, it was a better decision for me to just walk away than do something that wasn't going to work for me. So I did. I took a walkabout, as I call it. And what prompted me to get back into it for sure was the loss of Ronnie James Dio, who meant everything to the whole world, but he was a mentor of mine, and it was very hard. It was a very hard time, and I went to LA for his services, and through that, I started having conversations with people again about doing music, and I felt actually almost ashamed of myself that I had been given this gift and I hadn't done anything with it. So through the passing of Ronnie, I said I had to do something for him, so I decided to start doing music again.
It's so cool that you're back, and you did a few albums with Chastain again since 2011, and now you're back with your solo band, right? How'd you put together the new band, and who's playing with you at the moment?
The new band came about when I had the privilege of going down to South America last year and do a tour with Rob Rock. And Rodrigo Skelza, my manager, supplied this band for me, which was the same band that Rob Rock was using, but he was also using another guitar player named Vinny Tex. So as I watched them play every night, I just looked at Rodrigo one night and I said, this is the band that I want to work with. So we just started the conversation. Everyone agreed that we all wanted to work together. And then we just, when I came home, you know, in the spring, we started writing. It's Vinny Tex on guitar, Damon Ross on guitar, Thiago Velasquez on bass, and Braulio German on drums. And they're all from Brazil.
Yeah, I noticed you. Did you record and produce parts of it in Rio, or just recorded or just produced?
What we did is we did all the music in Rio, and I actually laid down vocal tracks that we decided after the record was done that we wanted to redo those. So I was blessed enough that when I was on the road, I could go to Poland, and I redid the vocals in Poland at Hurt Studios, which is known for all their death metal, you know, Behemoth and Vader and Hate. They all record down there. So it was a great opportunity for me to redo my vocals in this huge studio. So it was a wonderful opportunity that I couldn't pass up. My guitar player, Vinny Tex, had worked with them previously with another band. So they were very welcoming and allowed us to do it there.
We're talking, of course, of the new album, which is called Simply 2, and it's set for release next Friday, April 13th, right?
Yes.
So tell us a bit more about the composition, recording of that album, and so on.
Well, what we did is, obviously, I live here in the States. They would just send me pieces of music via the internet, you know, and we would kind of go through them, and we would talk about what we wanted them to sound like, and then they would send me pieces, and I would record melodies over it. So we just did it back and forth that way. And it actually came together quite easy, I must say. We have a great musical relationship, and that's really about it. Some of it was new. Some of the riffs they had that they had written a while ago, but I think most of it was new. And I dig most of the lyrics and the melodies, and we would just go back and forth. And we actually finished it quite quickly, but it took us a while to get it, you know, to get it out on a label and stuff. But it was wonderfully easy. It was great.
Yeah, I listened to it a couple of times since last week, and it just rocks from start to finish. It seems to be a more direct approach rather than the symphonic approach that you had with Chastain.
Yes. I really wanted to. And God bless Chastain. I love everything about what I've done with him, and it's because of him that I'm here. But I really wanted to get away as the guys did from the neoclassical sound. I wanted it to be really raw. I didn't want a lot of production. I didn't want any layering, any harmonies. I literally just went in there and cut it, you know, quick and easy and rough and raw. So I'm really pleased with the way it came out. Yes, it's very direct. I agree with you.
Yeah, and like I like how it starts strong with the song Juggernaut. It's my favorite on the whole album.
Oh, is it? Do you like Juggernaut?
Yeah, I love
that. That was the guitar player Damon Ross wrote that song. Yeah, he just presented it to me one day, and I think we played with the melody a little bit. But yeah, that's a strong opener for sure.
Yeah, and another one that caught my attention was Annabelle. Is it based on the horror movie of the same name or not?
No, I know. Everybody asked me that. No, Annabelle is bizarre just because I don't really like children. I don't have any children. I'm not a big child fan. And I was walking out of a restaurant one night, and I looked over, and there was a grandmother leaning over a baby carriage, and she was calling the baby Annabelle. And as I walked by this baby's eyes just latched onto me and was just staring at me. And I don't know how to explain it. Such a rush of emotion, or I just stared at this baby, and this baby stared back at me. And I just actually sat in my car, and I wrote the lyrics to Annabelle on my iPad. It was just an experience with this baby. It was bizarre.
That's just as impressive as the horror movie anyway. So
yeah, is it? I know. Damn. I wish they would call us to use that song. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first single and lyric video is for Lost at Midnight. What does that song talk about? And do you find that it's a good representation of the rest of the album as a whole?
I do. It was either between that one or Hidden in the Dark, but my management, Rodrigo, said that Lost at Midnight was the one to pull, and I think he was right. Lost at Midnight was it's a really near and dear song to me, and I kind of don't like to talk about lyrics. I like to keep it open for interpretation, but I can say that it was a situation that I had with somebody that I had met, and it was just a conversation with the head about a certain situation that I wanted to happen, and it wasn't going to happen. So it was just basically kind of about being pissed off and wondering what was going to happen at midnight. It's very simple.
No. Okay, cool. You started at a time when there weren't many references of female metal singers. We had Doro Pesch, Lita Ford, Girl School. You can count them on one hand, basically. You must have felt like an outsider back then, right?
No, I have never felt like an outsider, and I'm extremely bored by the gender issue, which I know will obviously come up, but no. None of us were like that. You can talk to any of the women that started back then. We were just out there doing our thing, man. We wanted to play with the big boys. We wanted to, no, not an outsider. I knew that I was good, and I knew that people listened to me. It wasn't because I had boobs. No. I've never felt like an outsider because when you give me a microphone and I start singing, I'm not an outsider. So never.
Okay. I can tell, actually, from listening to you and from looking at those old videos and the new ones. Oh, my God. You fit right in, of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. And one more thing about the album cover. It's a great cover. It looks sort of like Dio in there. And I noticed you have a new logo as well. Who designed that logo and the cover?
The cover was, first of all, and I'm going to pronounce your name incorrectly, but the photographer was a friend of Rodriguez, Luciano Pereira da Santos. She's a Brazilian photographer, and she took those photos, and we wanted her to make them dark and beautiful like that. And then the people that came up with the logo and everything was a graphics company in Brazil called Sledgehammer Graphics. And I believe the gentleman was Robert Melo, but it was Sledgehammer Graphics. And we just told them what we wanted, and they took over. I mean, I think that's such an incredible job, how haunting they made that look. I just wanted it to look, you know, like haunting and castle-like, but they did a great job. Great job.
It's dark. I mean, the color scheme is great as well, so I'm impressed. Yeah,
they did a good job, yeah.
And having listened to the album, I gotta say your voice is still intact. It still sounds exactly the same as the mid-80s or early 90s. How do you take care of your voice?
Well, it's wonderful that you say that because it's really not, but thank you. You know, I do what everybody does. When I decided to get back into it, you as a vocalist, you have to practice all the time, which means, you know, I try to do scales every night for an hour, and you do them very softly. It's not like you're out blowing full voice. I run like crazy. I drink water like crazy. I try to sleep like crazy. It's like any other muscle. You have to really take care of it. And of course, the older you get, you know, it does get a little more difficult. But, you know, muscle memory, I've been pretty blessed. Muscle memory, it came back pretty easy.
Yeah, of course. And what do you feel is the main difference in the music industry from back in the day until now? Is there any major difference?
To me, there's not, because it's still the same for me, Rodrigo. It's still so much hard work, and it's so not easy to deal with a bunch of people. It's just a labor of love each time you do it. I guess what's changed is that everything's on social media now. Anybody can put out records. It's harder to stand out. It's harder to draw a crowd. There's no place to really play anymore. There's not money to be made. So it's become more of a challenge. But, you know, you can still do it. Now anybody can do it. So I guess, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's good and it's not good.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed as well is, you know, as a veteran in the scene, you've seen metal come and go, be in and out of fashion. To what do you credit the staying power of this genre? Because it's always been there laying around, no matter what trends come up.
You know, I love the way you say that. It's always been there laying around. I think it's way more difficult in this country, in the U.S. I remember seeing an interview where Dio was saying that America had become the land of American Idol, which is kind of what it became. You know, you were on TV and all of a sudden you were selling a million records. But, you know, in every other place, I don't think metal has ever gone away. I mean, Europe and South America, it's incredible. Those people are singing songs to me that were written in 1983. And they're singing them to me. I don't know, maybe the older the country, the more they hold on to the older values. I don't know. But the U.S. is really changing. There's a lot more festivals that are popping up. I think maybe the U.S., you know, it's more of a business here. Well, it's obviously been a business, but it's more about money here. But yeah, outside of the U.S., it's insane. Metal has always been lying around. It's never gone anywhere, for God's sake, over there. But you know, everything's a circle, Rodrigo. Everything goes around, and it's nice to be part of the upswing for once instead of the downswing.
Of course, yeah. And when you started, did you have any female singers as a reference, or did you, because your main influence that's palpable is Ronnie James Dio, of course, and you were often compared to Bruce Dickinson and Rob Halford, but did you have any other role models to start with?
I remember when I was very young, somebody turned me on to Dreamboat Annie. I don't know. When I was in high school, somebody turned me on to Ann Wilson, to Heart. And I can remember being quite blown away by her. But she's really the only one that I listened to. Of course, when I was really young, I listened to Stevie Nicks. And again, I don't do that genre. It's anybody who had power to me. And, you know, once I heard Dio and Dickinson, I mean, there was just a sense of power. But I would say Annie Wilson has always been in the back of my mind. You know, she was such a rocker, one of the first probably huge rocker metal girls. So, yeah, Annie Wilson for sure.
Yeah, she's great. Have you seen her do the Led Zeppelin songs? Oh, my God. It's
jaw-dropping. Oh, my God. She does it better than Zeppelin. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. And what are the touring plans for Leather right now for your solo band? I noticed your set list also includes a handful of songs from the classic Chastain era, like Voice of the Corpse.
Oh, of course. Rodrigo. I'll never get away with that, and that's okay. We are planning a North American tour, which I was just told the dates are coming soon, and I don't know where the first show is, but I was told the first show is going to be 9/25, September 25th. I know they're trying to get us out for a couple months. I don't have anything definite to tell you. But I can tell you we will be touring at the end of this year, yeah.
I live here in Toronto, and hopefully you get a stop over here. And
oh,
then we can
yeah. I can tell you that there's conversation going on in Canada for sure. So, you know, stay tuned to my page. And of course, I'll let you know. You're in my, you know, my people the bug column. Yeah. So, but I would let you know for sure.
Can you finish off with a message to your fans around the world who want to see you on tour?
Yes, my message to all of you is you're so appreciated. I am enamored and humbled by all your belief and love that you show me. You will not be disappointed with the new record, and I'm going to get out and I'm going to play it for as many of you as I can. Love and Dio always.
Thanks, Leather. Thank you for your time today, and all the best to you and the band on the upcoming tour, and hopefully we can catch up very soon.
Great. Thank you, Rodrigo.
Thank you for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this interview with Leather Leon. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can find the links just below this video. And stay tuned for more news here at Sonic Perspectives. I'll finish off with the song Juggernaut from Leather Leon's upcoming album. Bye-bye.